This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Kerr struck him out looking. The Cardinals are going to Michigan to take on the Tigers.
Holiday out to deep right. Yes, yes, yes.
Swing and a long one. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Swing and a high drive to center field. Get up, baby. Get up, baby. Get up.
Jim Cromer. They're talking about what you're talking about. Welcome to Ruffled Feathers from the Two Birds on a Bat Show.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Ruffled Feathers right here at Two Birds on a Bat, coming to you from the Patio Studios. Patio is the original party place for St. Louis Cardinals fans everywhere. This show is brought to you by Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. So we have a handful of spring training games under our belt. Some of us are freaking out. Some of us are staying pretty level-headed about it. Some of us just don't care because it's spring training. And at the end of the day, none of these games really count. But we do get to see how some of these players have come to camp prepared or not, hot out of the gate or not. We'll get into all that. But tonight's a little bit, it's a very unique show tonight because sometimes just talking about your team is exciting enough. I kind of like that baseball voyeurism where I kind of like to look in on what some of these other fan bases are talking about, especially those in the National League Central, and especially our division rivals, the Chicago Cubs. Those of you that know me know that I do another podcast called the Team of Rivals podcast. Two of my very good friends are Cubs fans. Unfortunately, that's one of their crutches, but they are Cubs fans. We get together every Thursday night and do this thing called Team of Rivals podcast. They are joining me tonight because we're into spring training now. The season's fast approaching, and I want to get their view on what they've seen from their team out there in Arizona, because as many of us Cardinals fans aren't focused on that. Our teams are all playing in Florida, so that's the only team competition we get to see. Is very limited this year, and more so than usual. So without further delay, I want to welcome in my co-host for the Team of Rivals podcast, starting with Pete. And yes, he's a Cubs fan, and he's up there in Chicago. Pete, take us away.
Good evening, Cubs and Cardinals fans. It's Thursday, March 4th, and this is also the Team Rivals podcast, proud members of the Gateway City Sports Network. And I got to tell you, Ron, the original plan was that we were going to excise these, but I think that they fit together so well that I'm not going to do that. I do have to say, though, the voyeurism is actually on your side. This started first, then you went to Ruffled Feathers. So technically,
you're right.
This is the Team Rivals podcast, and we just happen to be sharing it with Ruffled Feathers because Thursday night is our night. And I would hate to think that you're spoiling our special relationship.
I know.
Anyway, you can follow us online at teamarrivalspodcast.com. We're on Instagram and Facebook at Team Arrivals Podcast, and we're on Twitter at Team Arrivals Pod. And for those of you who are watching us live, hit the like and subscribe buttons and be sure to ring that bell on YouTube so that you receive notifications anytime we post new content. This is our first new show in 3 weeks, and some of you may have forgotten all the faces. I don't think they've seen all three of us together in like, I don't know, since the new
Forever.
Year, maybe. But joining me for tonight's show, permanent occasional guest host, Elliot Dewey. And you've already had him introduced, but it's always good to bring him back in. Number 48 in the 2020 edition of the Top Cards on Twitter, Ron Nuttall. Boys, It's good to be back.
It is. We've been missing you for a few weeks. You know, we had L fill in for you 1 week, which is always a ratings boost versus when you're on. My brother joined up one night. It was an interesting conversation seeing the transformation that both of course, L's has been a journey. It's been a long road. It's well documented. We're all familiar with that one. My brother went on his own personal one over this last year and, made a lifestyle change, and he looks completely different than he did a year ago. I didn't realize until I saw a side by side picture how much he had actually transformed. So, kudos to him. He's a completely different guy now.
Yeah, he did. when I saw that picture, he had done a lot of work, and it seems like all of that's paying off. But it was great to hear him talk a little sports ball.
He didn't.
No, not at all.
He didn't. He avoided
it like the plague.
Was he busy scrolling through his phone?
Yes. We caught him at least once. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's true. And Pete, so everybody can kind of hear your voice tonight. They're not going to be able to see your camera. They've got Elliot and me just on visual. And I think it's because we had to log in thing. So right now, just Elliot and I are visible on screen. No big deal. Or I can just put
our logo
probably
better up that way.
No. Our own fans on the Team Arrival side of this thing haven't got to see your mug for almost a month now, so I'm disappointed.
We all know Pete's the beautiful one, so that's, sure, you know.
This is true. This is yeah, true.
He's looking better these days, though. He's got a little bit more of a sparkle in his eye. He's got, you know, something happening in his life. Yeah, we're not going to get into it. We're not going to share anything here, but he's a happy guy, and we're happy for him. So, Pete, we've got some business to take care of as far as just, hey, look, we get to see some actual baseball, some things happening now. It's always fun. Yeah, as little interested in actually in the outcome of most of these games and what happens, it is always great to hear the familiar sounds, the familiar voices. You guys got a brand new voice this year as far as on your TV side. That might sound a little bit different, right? So we'll get into that in a second. But before that, I just want to remind everybody on here, at least on the side that follows me on Two Birds on a Bat and Ruffled Feathers, you can find us at twobirdsonabat.com. Please click subscribe to that podcast. It takes only about 30 seconds to do so, and best of all, it's absolutely free. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Follow us on Facebook. Just search for Two Birds on a Bat. Make sure you like that page and share it with a Mariners fan. Those guys are lonely these days. Let's share it with a Mariners fan this week. We're kind of going around here. On Instagram, you can find us at Two Birds on a Bat Show. You can also find us on lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. Spring training. Cactus.
Spring training. Grapefruit. I tell you what, boys, what's been exciting for me was turning on the game ESPN feed the other day, not watching the game, but hearing actual fans. There weren't a lot of them, but just having that background noise of fans reacting to a baseball game rather than piped in sound. I hope that they leave that as we get into the season. You know, they're talking about starting the season with 30% capacity, I think it is.
Yeah.
I hope that we get to hear 30% crowd noise that's genuine rather than somebody who's sitting in the stadium trying to figure out what the right crowd sound is to fit it so that the stadium sounds full. I'd much rather have a 30% capacity.
I'm with you. Go ahead, Elliot. I agree. Well,
you would think, though, after last year, that even though that sometimes it can be annoying, they'll have a little bit more of the microphones down in the stadium to catch a little bit more of that crowd noise so that it feels a little bit more natural for the viewer at home. Because that's one of the things that just adds to that at-home experience if you can get the channel where your team actually plays. So,
Elliot, are you expressing skepticism at the ability of Chicago Cubs fans to catch their home team on a television program?
Not at all.
You can always switch over to Pat Hughes.
Exactly. At least I'll be able to get that in, you know, that visualization, even though I can't actually physically watch the game. So yep,
absolutely.
Thanks, Marquee.
Marquee, are you guys able to watch that? That's my question, because this wasn't a planned topic for tonight. Just for a brief second, I know that they ran into like the perfect storm launching a network last year and then having a pandemic happen, right? And all the other renovations, all the other investments they've made around that stadium and that ballpark to have something like that happen last year. Obviously, you're seeing the outcome of, or you're seeing the economic impact. Probably has a lot to do with what has happened and hasn't happened in this off season and the fact that we can have some fans back, and I think St. Louis can go up to 32%. I think I might be off by a point or two there.
No, but that's right.
32% they're allowing back into the ballpark. And I think knowing or anticipating that, Pete, might have been why the Cubs were able to actually just make a couple moves. Call them modest, call them whatever you want to. They at least did something after letting some guys walk, really.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And yeah, as far as being able to see it, I mean, right now, correct me if I'm wrong, Elliot. Marquee's carried on Comcast, DirecTV, and AT&T, and I think that's it.
That is it.
Dish, Dish doesn't have any regional sports networks.
Nope. And it was carried by Hulu last year, the Hulu Live, if you subscribe to it. But apparently,
there's nothing right now.
They tried to raise the rates on Hulu, and Hulu's like, you didn't garner enough viewership last year to raise your rates, so we will just no longer carry you. So anybody who is a cord cutter like myself, I know Ron feels the pain, you as well. We will have to jump through some hoops if we actually want to watch the games. So
my hope is that sooner rather than later that Major League Baseball is going to change its view on this and shift the paradigm and allow streaming entirely through in-app purchases and not necessarily through the MLB network, but that you'll be able to buy a subscription to the Marquee app and you'll be able to watch content.
Absolutely. And I think at this point in this day and age, it makes sense for anybody, no matter where they live, to be able to, if you want to go to a game, you're going to go to a game. It's not going to stop people from watching games if they're watching not in market or in market. So I think it's one of the most ridiculous things. I don't believe NFL does that. You can still watch your home team, I believe, through the NFL app.
NFL is frustrating.
They still black that
sellout rule.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't.
Game's got to be sold out.
Yeah, I can't watch our Bears. Our Bears, I hope, get Russell Wilson just from a prestige value.
It's heating up.
That's right. But no, I can't. I'm shut out with the Bears if they're not playing a nationally televised game. If it's regional and they're playing in Chicago and not playing Carolina, or maybe the Falcons or the Steelers. We catch a lot of Steelers games out here too. I'm shut out. I mean, I have to have Sunday ticket or I can't watch it. Cardinals fans are up in arms right now. It's the same reasons a lot of Midwest fans are right now. And that is a lot of these streaming services, a lot of people have cut cable over the last 4 or 5 years. Hell, I've been one of them.
And it's growing. As somebody who sells the products or works for a corporation that sells the products to people cord cutting, I mean, the cost of having a cable subscription is ridiculous. So more and more every day, people, the baby boomers are coming in. I can't afford my cable subscription anymore. Tell me how I can get this. It's every single month. It is a more and more percentage of people.
I'm sure the industry knows that, right? But you know, people like AT&T, or it is DirecTV now, it's the same company. Mm-hmm. You know, they started their own streaming service, AT&T Now. It was DirecTV Now at some point. When I first cut cable, that's what I went to. But my point was, you know, a lot of people who have done this, now they find all these streaming services like YouTube TV, Hulu, AT&T Now. Now, all of a sudden, these guys aren't carrying this Fox Sports regional sports. And you have to, like, if you don't have a cable subscription or a satellite subscription, you're kind of screwed right now. And I'm lucky where I'm at because I happen to be out of the St. Louis market right now in MLB.TV. I have no problem getting most of the games except they're playing the Reds, which, you know, that's still a head scratcher in my opinion. I won't go off on that here on Ruffled Feathers or the Team Rivals podcast audience has heard me rail on that one too many times. It's really been unreasonable, my hatred to that. But I feel for them, and I see it every day out there on social media, people just frustrated as hell. So the something's going to have to snap here at some point in time, Elliot. Yep. They're going to have to, and Pete, I agree with you too, that at some point in time, it's going to be, I don't know if it'll go full-blown a la carte, but it's really getting that way. When you look around and you see Peacock and you see Paramount Plus has one, everybody has a Plus app, and that's, I could be too surprised at some point in time where this regionality is going to maybe be a thing of the past. And if you want to watch your team, you buy it directly from your team.
Yeah. And so sorry to derail the beginning of the conversation, but
no, I think it's important. It has everything to do with that. You work in an industry where you talk to people every day that are making that switch, and you just wonder how long it's going to take sports and these big regional networks to catch on to that. I really don't know what they're going to do. This has to be stressful. Like if you're a Bally's executive or a Fox executive and you just purchased all these regional networks and you've got all this, this friction between services like Hulu and YouTube, and they're trying to charge them for it, and they just don't want to. Basically, what's going to happen is the cost of streaming at some point in time is going to get very, very close or catch up to the cost of what having a cable TV contract.
It already is, depending on what services that you want, because right now YouTube TV is $65 a month. Thankfully, they make it worth it with the content that they have on there, especially with having MLB Network, having the Red Zone channel on there, those extended cable channels without all the filler. They've really made it worth it.
But there has been, I agree, Elliot, but you know what? There's been a common denominator over the years in all this. Back even when I had a local cable, when I lived back in Illinois, I don't know if it was Comcast or what it was, but at some point in time, Fox Sports Networks had a friction with them and they dropped the games for about a week. And there was a bunch of people bitching about it, and then they put them right back on. Now we go to streaming services. One by one, they're dropping Fox Sports. Guys, what's the common denominator here?
Fox Sports.
And baseball.
It's not because it's the way that the contracts are structured, right? And it's in both parties' interests to take it right up until the last possible moment, because then it creates the most leverage. And that's why you see it happen all the time. It's not necessarily because it's Fox. It's because it's a regional sports network. And so I mean, look at what happened with Marquee last year, right? They didn't sign a lot of the organizations, including Comcast, until the very last moment, because it was in those cable companies' interest to hold out as long as they possibly could.
Well, no doubt. But I guess as a sports fan, it's happened repeatedly with Fox Sports regional networks, right? So that was my point.
Because they're the only regional sports network.
Yeah, because you haven't seen it happen with ESPN, at least as far as I know. I don't know that that's occurred. Right. Maybe it
although has, ESPN, but ESPN is the biggest culprit for the rising cable bills, because they get more per subscriber than any other content network on cable.
That is correct.
You get something like, I think it's $5 per subscriber, which is way more than anybody else gets.
Oh, so, I'm sure. Yeah. I think more than Hallmark.
You know, when you're complaining about your cable bills, it's because of ESPN.
and many like them. I agree. So yes, this is not a streaming / cable TV episode here, but it is relevant to Cardinals fans because a lot of them are feeling it right now. And it does suck. It does suck not knowing how you're going to be able to listen to games. And one thing I do want to mention here is I was actually listening to the radio side of this because I was just in my car and it was the middle of one of the games. And I flipped over to the Cardinals radio broadcast. And I believe it was opening day. It was on Sunday. And I heard Mike Shannon, who's in his final year, he's retiring after, you know, 50 plus seasons with the organization. Most of them as a broadcaster. And I got to say that hearing him on the radio, while comforting at first, I don't know if it was the travel, I don't know if he's ill, but it's just something about him. He sounded really off, not normally like he did, maybe a little tired on Sunday. So I know a lot of Cardinals fans were talking about this on social media, slightly worried about, you know, just kind of what condition he's in. I haven't heard him the last couple of days, but it was a little bit worrisome. That's not the same Mike we're used to listening to. And he's up there in years, and he's at the end of his career here. So I'd like to see him finish strong. And you guys haven't heard him much, but, he's just, you know, like you guys had Ron Santo and, and you know, he was, they're different, but yet the same. Both of them were former third basemen. They're great personalities. They have just stories to tell like you wouldn't believe. Quirky personalities, not your typical polished radio guy.
Absolutely not.
But you know what? Those guys are terrific. It's fantastic having those guys in the booth, and I'm really going to miss him when he's gone. But yeah, a lot of Cardinals fans were a little worried on Sunday, just how he sounded on the radio. But you know, maybe he's recovered. Maybe he bounced back. Maybe the jet lag gets you a little bit more when you're over 80 years old than it does when you're in your 40s. I hope.
If he's broadcasting from the ballparks, I assume that he, like many other broadcasters last year, was broadcasting from home, right?
No, he was in Florida.
Was he?
Yeah.
No, but I mean throughout the season.
Well, throughout the season, they were doing it from the home ballpark. So watching on monitors.
Shannon, I think, I don't know what year he switched over, but as many of these guys do, and at the end of their careers, a lot of them don't do road games anymore. Right, they only do home, and that's what he was doing. And I don't recall last year if he did road games or not. I'd have to go back and listen to some of those, but I don't know if he did that since they were all from St. Louis. So,
and I would imagine, you know, he's a little bit like what we're going to see from a lot of pitchers this year. He's out of practice, right? He only called 60 plus games.
Yeah,
and he did them and maybe all half from of those. From his home area. You know, now all of a sudden he's flying down to Florida and, you know, he's having to ramp back up and get ready. You know, maybe he's like that veteran pitcher who's just going out there and just getting his work in spring training, and
or maybe he's like that young pitcher in Jack Flaherty who didn't get off to a great start. The Cardinals have had, you know, three out of the four games so far starting pitchers haven't looked good. Carlos Martinez looked terrible today. I mean, I think he gave up six runs all earned in 1 2/3 innings. So I'm not, if I remember the box score correctly.
Maybe he was just working on some pitches and he was just working on his location, because I tell you what, that is usually the number one thing they say in that day. It's like, you know, I had some good pitches, I had some bad pitches, but you know, I was just really working on my location today.
Well, and Elliot, if you would tell me if something like this happened with Max Scherzer and he was just experimenting with another grip, hell or high water, he was going to experiment with that grip for a whole inning. Don't care what the outcome is. I would buy that. Carlos is trying to get back into the rotation. Right, he's trying to be a starter again. So I see this one a little bit different. This one troubles me a bit more. I'm pulling for him, because if that guy can return 80% to form, I'll take him at four or five in the rotation.
Did he have the right color hair today?
No, maybe not. I haven't seen what his hair color is yet. But you know, it is troublesome. Kim, who pitched a day or two ago, didn't look that great either. So there's some worry from Cardinals fans, a little bit on the pitching staff. And now how I feel about this, I kind of agree with your sentiment in the beginning there, Elliot, is a lot of these guys are working on something. Yeah. Whether it's a change of speed, grip, you know, it's just four games into spring training. I usually don't.
These are the ones that we shouldn't care about very much at all.
No,
I feel.
But you got people like waiting there on the edge of their seats, ready for baseball to come back. And you know we're going to overanalyze stuff.
It's the last week where it's their last tune-ups, that if these guys are still struggling on something or they're still getting shelled, then that's when there's maybe a little bit to start worrying about, I feel like.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest anxiety so far. Just a few games in from Cardinals fans. It's just the condition of the pitching, because we had some questions going into this year about –
right.
Hey, what was this going to look like? Because we had Wainwright coming back at age 40, Carlos maybe getting another shot at the rotation. Jack Flaherty didn't have a great 2020. Miles Michaelis missed he missed all of 2020, so we didn't really know what kind of condition he hasn't thrown yet.
He's been pushed back, hasn't he?
Right, which is always, you know, I love it when they say it's precautionary, because it takes me back to Lovie Smith every time. As soon as somebody
the last thing you want to see is somebody who hasn't pitched in a year get pushed back, right? Because at this point he should be healthy, he should be good to go.
It is.
Hey, you got one good year out of him.
We did get a good year. We got good 1 year plus out of him, I think. But so the biggest anxiety Cardinals fans have right now, besides Matt Carpenter getting a start at second base, His lies in the pitching staff, because we had questions going into this year. Me personally, look, I cannot make a judgment one way or the other. Whether you're a hitter, pitcher, whether you're a hot dog vendor, I don't know what the hell to think of you four games into spring training.
Is there some worry about the Matt Carpenter starting at second base already?
There is. There's some anxiety there. It's unwarranted at this point. Look, the reality is this. He needs a certain amount of at-bats this year. I don't know exactly what the number is, 550, maybe a little bit more north of that, in order to get his contract renewed, picked up for 2022. I can tell you right now, at $18 million, there's no way he's getting that many plate appearances. So if some reason you're just anti-hate Matt Carpenter fan out there, and I'm not one of them, I don't believe he's a starter anymore, but if you hate Matt Carpenter, you're on edge right now, just wondering, oh my God, they're going to play the contract, they're going to play the money. Well, let me remind you, they just shipped money out to LA, to the Angels and Dexter Fowler, and they paid a majority of what he was owed. So I don't think it's just play the contract. I don't think that's a thing, especially in his last year. So
why would that be? That makes absolutely no sense from a business perspective, right? If you have a contract that you want to get out from under, why in God's name would you bend heaven and earth in order to make that contract extend for another year?
Right.
Like, if anything, you would bury him on the bench.
Yeah.
All the Matt Carpenter haters should not be worried in the least.
But I think those that are most violent, I don't seriously mean violent, but For those that are most vocal, let's put it that way, they're just worried that he's going to get 150 at bats. You know, they don't want to see him hitting at all.
Well, that might be a stretch now that we know that the DH isn't coming this year in the NL. Right.
That would have been the only way he would have got. Yeah. It would have been the only way he got close to
Carpenter.
No, there really isn't. No, there really isn't. And you know what? But if he can hit at all, that's not a bad bat to have off the bench, right? From the left side. If he can hit at all, if he can regain any type of form whatsoever in his last year, fine. They're probably better off for it. I don't have high hopes for any of that because his downward trend, I don't even call it a trend. I mean, he's fallen off a cliff since late 2018. he really has.
He fell harder than GameStop.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So, all right. So, for the Cardinals side of this whole podcast here, what have you guys seen from the Cactus League, though? And again, we know it's only four games, but is there anything notable?
Well, the Cubs signed Eric Sogard the other day, so that gives him a little bit more depth at second base. And selfishly, what I hope that means is that some combination of Sogard, Bodie, and Vargas are going to end up taking second base so that Nico Hoerner can get some more work at AAA because the bat's just not there yet. And, you know, Major League Baseball is not the place to work out the flaws in your swing and to work on your weaknesses. If you don't show up polished and ready to go, you're going to get eaten alive. And we've seen that in Nico's first two seasons. So I think the best thing for him and for the Cubs long-term is for him to go down to AAA. But who knows? We'll see what happens. I think second base and then whoever ends up in the bullpen are the big questions for the Cubs. They got a bunch of names trying to get those 9 or 10 spots. We'll see what happens.
How can you say that with Nico's obscene .833 batting average right now, Pete?
How many games have they played?
Exactly. I think they left him in. They've left him in for most of the games to get him a lot of at-bats, and I think that's an indication of him starting the season down in AAA. So just getting him that experience. We all know the gloves there. I mean, he plays some great defense. It's the bat that needs to mature. I feel like it's getting there. But I would be more comfortable with him starting the season, seasoning. Yep. So I am totally okay with it because I don't feel like this team is ready to compete at the high level, even though most of that core is still there. But I know we'll probably talk about this later, but I feel a little bit more relaxation in the team.
Yeah, you know, you really hope so because I think this is going to be a difficult season for Cubs fans.
Absolutely.
Because, look, if they're not – I have a feeling that if they're not surprisingly good, that that we're going to see a sell-off July 31st, close to the white flag trade of the White Sox from the late 90s. Because if they aren't looking like a World Series contender, what's the point in pushing all in on this team? Especially when you've got all of these guys in the last year of their contracts. If you're not able to work out extensions for them, you're really playing with fire if you try to push in and you push your salaries right up to the limit of what your baseball budget will support. And then what, we're going to get another first round knockout? I mean, I think you'd be better off on cutting bait and moving forward on your future now.
Yeah, and we've already seen that Jed Hoyer is willing to make tough decisions that Theo honestly wasn't willing to make, letting go of guys that he had connection to personally. So it seems, and I hate to say this, but it's Jed Hoyer seems more like the type that's going to make some business decisions with the baseball team. Maybe not full on baseball decisions, but I think he's been around long enough and we know he can make those types of decisions too. So he is hamstringed, you know, by ownership. And I feel like some of those decisions were made because of that over the offseason, but there's a lot yet to be seen.
Somebody made a good point the other day, and I forget who it was, but made a point about part of the reason why they think that Theo left a year early was because he knew he was going to be done at the end of this year. He wasn't going to sign another contract to stay with the Cubs. He was going to move on to his next opportunity. And he realized that they were at an inflection point, that they were going to have to sell off pieces. And the speculation was that the reason that he left now is because in making those moves, he would be making moves that he wouldn't be held accountable for in the future. You know, right. So he would be trading for players where it really wouldn't matter to him who he was trading off and who he was getting back, because he knew that he wasn't going to be around. And so that was part of the reason why he left. That's the speculation, is that way Jed, who's going to be there for, we would assume, at least 5 more years, he's going to make moves that he knows he'll be able to shepherd through, and that he'll be accountable for in 5 years when those moves truly play out. So, and then as far as the bullpen goes, hey man, Stropey's back, cast to the left.
That's right.
I doubt he actually makes the bullpen.
So it's great because it's going to piss Ron off so much that we have. We've got Flatbill and we have hats to the left.
That's right.
And nothing makes me happier.
Yeah, Flatbill, pissy pants.
Yeah, I wonder, who does Ron hate more? The San Diego Padres, the Major League Baseball for his inability to watch the Cardinals play the Cincinnati Reds, or Flatbill, pissy pants?
We covered this a couple weeks ago, and really, I'm kind of happy he's back because I get to talk about him again. I get to see him more often, and it really is. It's going to be a joy. It's going to be a joy. He won't be as good as he once was, so it'll be even better. But you never know, man. Sometimes, he can reach back into 2017, 2018 when he was still there, and drum up a little Jake Arrieta, Pilate magic, and maybe maybe be a solid middle of the rotation guy. I mean, that's the best you can hope for. I'm happy he's back because I get to see that player that just looks like they just hate being there and they refuse to bend the bill of the hat. I'm a happy man, Elliot. What can I tell you?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I am kind of hoping the same thing. If he's a solid middle of the rotation, number three guy who can get it done and kind of come back a little bit from where he was with the Phillies, I think fans will be happy with that. Mm-hmm. So and I would assume that, Pete, you agree that as long as Jake is a solid three guy and, he's going to have the meatball every now and then. But if he's more like he was with the Cubs than what he was with the Phillies, it'll be okay.
Well, here's the one thing we know about him, right? He's a hard worker. He's probably already the hardest worker on the team.
Yeah.
Especially now that John Lester's gone. And so he's going to be realistic about his career prospects. And I think that he's going to be more than willing to get into the pitch lab and to listen to what the Cubs analytics team tells him about changing his approach. He's not 2015 Jake Arrieta. He's not going to win a Cy Young Award again. But I think that he's going to be open to coaching and that he's going to be willing to change his approach when he's on the mound in order to try and prolong his career and to have some success. So, yeah, I think a solid number three starter is probably his ceiling right now, but I think it's very achievable because if anybody is capable of busting their ass and overachieving, it's Jake Arrieta.
I agree.
That or else, he's just going to piss Ron off every time he takes the mound. And for that, I'm good. For that, the signing is absolutely worth it.
I love it.
All right. As we move through the show, just like to thank our featured partners, starting with Mike and his wonderful crew at Adams Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Adams is home to the best barbecue in St. Louis. They do big box orders, catering, and of course, when it's safe and they're ready, they'll do in-house dining. If you want the full experience, head on down to Adams Smokehouse, meet Mike and the gang. Check out their awesome menu. You are not going to be disappointed. That's our friends at Adams Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. And finally, don't forget our friends at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, located in both Missouri and Illinois. If you're looking for the right organization to help your youngster with a game of baseball or softball, look no further than Gators Baseball Academy and their four-pillar system. To learn more, check them out at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All right, guys. We just brushed over the fact that we had a hiccup there, but that's typical for us. Jake Arrieta, you guys got him back, probably a solid innings eater somewhere in the middle of that rotation. Hopefully, you guys were mentioning that Strope might not even make the bullpen. That's a question I was trying to get in before we had some difficulty there connecting. You guys feel that he's not going to, or he's not going to make the cut? He's going to be sent to alternate training camp. What's your take on that? Because I figured a veteran in that bullpen with a lot of young guys, a lot of new names, might be something that you feel is kind of a insurance policy. But I'd like to get your a little bit more insight on there. And yes, I hate the fact that he kicks his hat over, but whatever, it's his signature thing.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think that he makes the team. I think that his best years have passed, and I think that the hamstring injury that Joe Maddon subjected him to has had a lasting effect on him, and he really hasn't been the same since. But I think that he's still valuable because he even indicated it. I think it was today there was a story that came out that Strope said it's good to be home, and even when his career is over, he wants to stay a part of the Cubs. So I would not be the least bit surprised if he doesn't make it with the Cubs, if he calls it a career and then immediately gets signed on as assistant bullpen coach or something. So you still have that veteran presence in the bullpen. He's just not taking the mound, but he can rub off on the young guys. And you're still going to have him around through spring training. And you're absolutely right, Ron. Actually, you mentioned it. They may send him to the alternate site just so that he can continue to rub off on guys, even though he probably realistically has very little chance of making the big league squad this year.
And it's really unfortunate too. And like you said, Pete, the way that he was injured by taking it at bat, something that bullpen guys don't do ever. And the one chance that they used him for that, getting clever, and he injures himself and honestly just tanks his career. So it sucks, but yes, he's a great influence. He's a great bench guy. He's great for morale. I mean, that's the one thing that they've always talked about with Pedro Strop, is that he's just been such a very positive attitude guy. And he's one of the great reasons why that bullpen was so good in 2016, because he was a part of it. So
yeah, I mean, and every I think throughout baseball, guys, that's kind of par for the course as a middle reliever. Like we know too many stories like this where guys were great for two or three years and then they just, you never heard from them again. You know, I can go through a list of Cardinals middle relievers that were just excellent, and then you know their careers just kind of went away.
And that's why they're middle relievers, right?
Well, right. I mean, well, the thing is, and Jim says it on here all the time, that these guys that, you know, for whatever reason, couldn't figure it out as starters. Maybe they ran their pitch counts up too much. Maybe it's, you know, various reasons, but they weren't quite good enough to lock down a 1-5, you know, spot in any given rotation. They find themselves in the bullpen, warming up, you know, stop start, you know, pitching quite a bit, and those guys burn out fast. It's just not a healthy profession. I mean, they should get hazard pay, I think, on top of their salary just for being in the bullpen. And there's a lot of stories like this. So it's not unique to the Cubs or Pedro Strop. You see it all around the league where, you know, it's just a short lifespan, and it's unfortunate. You know, we had a casualty in John Brebbia for us. He won't pitch this year, and San Francisco wisely, I think, picked him up and took a low risk, high reward gamble for later on. And you know, we've seen a lot of guys like that. I think of Mitchell Boggs as a name that jumps into my head. You know, there was, I can't remember, Bowman. Matt Bowman was a pitcher. I mean, Mike Matheny had him warming up in December many years. These guys are used a lot. And I think we see at times some managers just favor a couple guys, or they have a high trust level in a couple guys, and just they do overwork them. And we see them fizzle out, I think, all too soon. It's unfortunate, but it seems commonplace this day and age, really.
And that ultimately could be one of the things that the Cubs' success hinges on this year, is that they're taking a lot of flyers on guys like that. You know, they're bringing in a number of guys for their bullpen who may have been successful or had flash potential in the past. And they're taking the chance that, you know, maybe we can fix these guys and get a usable year out of them. And either contend or, at the very least, fix them long enough that we can flip them for some usable prospects or some salary relief.
Yeah, and hopefully with with David Ross as coach, we've seen him kind of go out there and either let guys work out of their problems, or he kind of has that eye for like, okay, they don't have it today. Let's go and grab him. Let's get him out of there before it gets ugly. So I feel like we've got the manager to kind of toe that line with our guys in the bullpen. So,
well, if not, he can teach him how to cha-cha.
That's right. Or hip check, or, you know, dick bump.
Oh, I don't think the fans on here are as familiar with that. Of course I am, because, you know, we hung out on social media and saw all kinds of fun made of that. But I want to ask you guys a question. Now, I'm recycling this one because it came again this week, and it's on the Patterson Tire and Service text line. I've already answered it on behalf of the Cardinals. I'll be happy to address it just briefly, but I want to get you guys' opinion on this. So this text line gives us and our friends at Patterson Tire and Service an opportunity for your business. Patterson Tire and Service is a whole lot more than a tire store, as they also specialize in automotive repair. Give them a call at 618-797-6711 for a quick quote. Set up an appointment today to head on down to 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois, to find out why they are the best in the business. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. As usual, these texts come in and we ask people to leave names to them. They usually don't, but this is one I'll repeat, because a very similar question came in today. So it came in from a couple different folks out there, listeners. What is your take on recent projections like Bakota and MLB? And guys, you guys have seen the same thing. You know, we've seen the Cardinals predicted to be at right around a 500 team finishing third. We've seen the Brewers, in some cases, predicted to finish first. And now, at most, I get a little bit irritated by these things. I'm like, you know, they're never right when it comes to St. Louis. But how do you guys feel about their projections of the Cubs? And I know some of these were all over the place. Some of them we might feel are a little more realistic than others. We all have some bias in this. Let's admit it. We all do. We all want to see our teams finish ahead of where most of these, most of these things like Bakota predict where our teams are going to end up. But what, Pete, just start with you. And how accurate do you think it is this year? Because you and I have had many conversations about this over the years, and we're always like, not up in arms. We're not anything like that. But we're always like, whatever. You guys don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I think this year, more than any other, projection systems just don't know shit. Because what are you projecting? How many? And I'm sure they're taking this into account, but still, no team is going to get through the season with only five starters. No starter is going to go over 150 innings. I can't imagine. Well, maybe somebody for the Angels will go over 150, but they'll blow their arms out because Joe Maddon doesn't care. and the Astros, because they got Dusty. So yeah. Maybe the Astros. The Astros and the Angels will probably lead the league in starters innings and also in starter injuries. But, I mean, that's going to be – and that's, I think, the most unpredictable part of it, right? You can probably be pretty confident on projecting hitters because they're not as dependent on one particular part of their bodies to perform. So you can probably make an educated guess with all these projection systems with hitters, but with pitchers, both starters and bullpens, because you're going to have more starters. The starters that you do have who are proven commodities are not going to be able to turn out the same kind of numbers that they have in the past. And you're going to be relying on your bullpens more, because I'd be surprised if we see more than, I'll say, 20 complete games this year, total, in all of baseball. You're going to see bullpens used so heavily, and that means that you're going to have a lot of guys who are either being leaned on more than they ever have in their career, or alternately, you're going to see guys getting called up who might not have gotten a shot previously, and they're going to be called on just to eat innings to get their teams through the season. Either way, you have no realistic idea of how those guys are going to perform. And so any projections that you see, and I think that's why they're all over the place in projecting who's going to end up where, because they just don't know.
Yeah. This is a tough year to look at any of that, especially and depending on how much weight you're really putting on 2020, which was such an oddity anyway. Somebody could probably make a case here for why the Brewers would be picked to finish on top. And you probably couldn't argue it too much based on just what feeds into some of these projections. So, Elliot, go ahead.
I was going to say, my initial thought was keep the bus running. I mean, because there is going to be I feel like a ton of call-ups this year. But we also got to realize that these guys played 60 games last year, mm-hmm. or, you know, at the most, what, 85? So they did not have a full season. So you almost have to feel like these guys are probably pretty rested. I know for teams like the Cardinals, where they had to play a ton of games because they wanted to go gambling last year instead of, you know, hunkering down. but all joking aside, but like these guys didn't play a full season last year. So throw everything out the window, because there has never been a season like we had last year leading up to what we're going to see this year. So I feel like we could see some real oddities this year from teams that maybe we're not even thinking of this year, especially the Cubs and Cardinals. I feel like it could be these two teams kind of going, I feel like it could be a special year between the Cubs and Cardinals. I feel like it could be like an at each other's throat kind of thing this year, which would just make me so happy. Yeah.
Well, you know what I think might lead to this, and Pete, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on what I'm about to say, and then a follow-up question. We only got two more things to touch on here. I know we've got to go. You know, because so many of the Cubs players are in their walk year, you know, you've got Baez, you've got Rizzo, you've got Bryant. And we know what happens at times in walk years, right? Right or wrong, no matter how you look at it, how many times, guys, have we seen a good player in a walk year have a fantastic year? We've seen it a lot. Now, guys will tell you they put no more effort into that year than they did the one before that. But there's just some
bullshit hidden.
I know. There's something in the basement there that they reach down and grab. And whether it's out of desperation, you know, looking at a career, can I set myself up for life and generations?
They
got
to get paid.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's one of the things you can look at and go, you know, that's something that could occur. And Pete alluded to it earlier. If that's not happening and you guys are hovering around 500, and this is the topic I want to jump into real quick, it has to do with your third baseman. And I think we're at that point. Pete, I love how you mentioned the White Sox earlier in the late 90s, because that's exactly what happened, right? There weren't that many games behind in the division, but realistically, Jerry Reinsdorf said, we don't have a realistic shot. I don't know if the year was 97, maybe it was earlier than that, but I remember that, where, you know, they did a fire sale, I believe, on their pitching staff mainly. And they just looked at it and said, you know, that's fine. You know, hey, we know we're mathematically very much in contention, but realistically, we're not going to go far. And they did what they had to do. I kind of see the Cubs lining up for that in July, but I think a lot of it also depends on, hey, what do the standings look like? And are some of these guys having bounce back years, like Baez, like Bryant, Rizzo? You know, if these guys are playing to form, the Cubs are going to win their fair amount of games.
It's going to be tough for Jed Hoyer, because he's either going to have to be, he's going to have to be Brian Cashman in 2016 when they sold off Aroldis Chapman. He's going to have to look realistically at the team. And even if they're six games above 500, but they're five games back of, let's say, the Brewers, is it better for the team in the long term to trade Chris Bryant and get some assets for him rather than, you know, hang on to what they've got? They make the playoffs, they get eliminated in the first round. How does that benefit? And then they lose Chris Bryant for nothing at the end of the year. How does that benefit the team? So, I think it's probably more likely than not that Bryant gets traded at the deadline, unless this team just shocks the world and is playing completely out of their minds.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that, and that makes perfect sense, right? Like, why, if you're hanging on in contention, you're a little over 500, whatever. I mean, realistically, you got to take a gut check and go, hey, are we really getting past the Dodgers? Are we really getting past San Diego in the first round? Are we getting past Atlanta? You're not, and you've started a rebuild process already. It's almost like only going halfway. And I think you were mentioning it. It could be my mind playing tricks on me. I thought you mentioned something about Dombrowski. You know, had this faced the same fulcrum in the middle of a season and didn't pull the trigger because he thought they had a chance, and then ended up they lost like seven in a row after the deadline or something like that, and just didn't happen.
Right.
And so it the opposite happened to him. Like, he didn't pull the trigger and regretted it, and ultimately it probably cost him his job.
And here's the other question, though. If Bryant's playing like shit and trading him is going to net you anything, do you still trade him and hope he gets back to where he was in 2015, 2016? Mm-hmm. Or do you just trade him and say, hey, he's, you know, he is what he is at this point, and we just need to get whatever we can for him based on those years, and maybe he comes back.
I think that's what we're coming down to, Elliot, because you got to look at, you know, you take a replacement player or a minor leaguer that can come up and maybe they can fill 75% of his performance. You know, maybe they can do that. But he does it for the major league minimum rather than $18 million. And that's how these – I mean, I'm guessing, right? I mean, I don't think I have to guess, but that's how a lot of these decisions are made. Like, how much more are we getting for $18 million over the major league minimum? And so, in some cases, it's just not worth it. And if you make that decision that you're going to retool and rebuild – I think the organizations that do it successfully, they pull that trigger. And I agree with Pete that I think no matter what his performance is like, I do think he's somewhere during the course of the year, he has dealt. Best of luck. You know, guys, you know, I had an affinity for those blue eyes and everything else wearing Cardinal red, but we got a decent third baseman now. So
And like Pete said, I think the only possible way that Chris Bryant stays a Cub is if Bryant, Javi, Wilson, and they in Baez perform at the high level that they have in the past, and these guys come out of the gate and they are 5, 6, 7 games above 500 at the beginning of July.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, 5, 6, 7 games ahead in the Central Division.
Standings. Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, last thing, guys.
And they're keeping up.
Speaking of the standings, so the Brewers have not been quiet. I mean, they've done something at least. And, you know, no matter how much we think that they're going to fall back and they're going to be back there just a game or two above the Pirates, they like never are. And we're foolish for probably thinking they will be because they're always there. So they just recently picked up Jackie Bradley Jr. And, of course, we all know that they picked up Colton Wong, who was a free agent. And so, you know, I think they'll be relevant. I don't count them out. I don't know how ultimately their pitching is going to end up, but I think they're going to be there, and I think it's still going to be a division where you don't count on you know, winning 2/3 of your games against anybody but Pittsburgh. I mean, I still think the Reds have relevancy. I know their year last year was disappointing for them, but
yeah,
I still think they're going to be
okay. They were a lot worse than I think we thought they were because they were. Didn't Pecota have them at the lead in first last year?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you got a factor too. They're also looking at they're going to have who was their center fielder that opted out last year?
Senzel.
Yeah.
Right, and so you know you've got guys that are going to return that didn't play last year, and that's probably a little bit of a factor too. Although sitting out a year, you got to wonder you know what that does to readiness going into this year, but. Look,
I think we can safely pencil the Reds in for fourth place.
Well, losing Trevor Bauer is a big thing. And Pete, I don't know if you heard my math a couple weeks ago on this. Guys, listen to this. So Bauer's going to make 40 this year, right?
Yep.
Somewhere around there. So if let's just say it's a normal year and he's going to get 35 starts. Might get a few more. Let's just say he averages 95 pitches a start. And if you do the math right, based on his salary, he's going to get paid $12,000 a pitch.
Good for him.
Does that put any of it in context for you, Pete? Because I haven't been able to throw that number in front of you yet.
How much does he get for bad tweets?
Probably not much.
Those are complimentary.
those are free? Okay. Those are free. I was just wondering.
Those are on the house. those are absolutely on the house. But, I mean, kudos to that guy. Short-term deal, but an average annual value that just – it almost makes you laugh a little bit, right?
For real.
Good on him, man.
Yeah,
it's good on him.
Like that's all I can really say is, yeah, good on him the guy got paid. Good for him.
And he did. He did. He got paid like Michael Jordan dollars in his last few years with the Bulls. I mean, that's basically what he was able to do.
Well, he took that personally.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah.
He did. He really did. All right. I know we got to cut out here, Pete, so I'm going to turn it over to you here in a second. But for those of you Ruffled Feathers listeners, you can find us at twobirdsonabat.com. You can locate us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show, Facebook. We're at Two Birds on a Bat. Just search that term. You can also find us on lightupmediagroup.fm. Pete, take us out.
All right. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, please give a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe. We're available on Facebook, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out the other Gateway City Sports Network podcasts, including the Derek King Sports Show every Wednesday at 9 a.m. on Facebook Live and 2 for 3 with Moose Michaels. You can send us an email at the show at teamarrivalspodcast.com. You can find Elliot on Twitter at
TOR_Elliot.
And you can find Ron at
TOR_Ron75.
I tripped you boys up with the new show clothes, but I figured it tighter is better.
Tighter. Right? Yeah, it was. I was not prepared. You got to it a lot quicker than usual. And funny thing that Jim, I'm curious if Jim does it this week, but as I release Ruffled Feathers, he's been tagging me as TOR_Ron and leaving off the 75. TOR_Ron. I don't know who that is, but that account's been suspended. We'll see if he can slip in the 7-5. So it is me this time. My fear, Pete, and I told Elliot this a couple weeks ago, my fear was that this whoever TOR_Ron75 was one of the insurrectionists at the Capitol. And he's not only has his account been suspended, but he's in jail. And I hope people don't think that's me. And that's it.
Well, and the FBI is out for you too. You're on a billboard somewhere, Ron.
Why not? All right. Thank you guys for, I know this is our regular night anyway, but I had to combine efforts this week. It's just, there was no time to find time doing Ruffled Feathers this week, at least during the week. It's just been a crazy week at work. But the truth is, I know that those of you that listen to this know that Jim's going to be out for a long time with the baseball schedule. He does so much work with the Gators Baseball Academy and coaching. His schedule has just become crazy. The flagship show with Benji Molina is going to return. As we get closer to the season, so look forward to that. Until then, from now until then, you have me to deal with, and apologize for the show not getting out on Tuesday this week. We got it a little bit later, but truth is, I wanted one of these guys, if not both, on one of the Ruffled Feathers episodes as we approach the regular season anyway, because I wanted to get our rival take, and I think sometimes it's interesting to just hear what some of the other baseball fan bases are saying about your team, what they're saying about theirs, because we're all going to have to face each other soon. So it's a little bit of reconnaissance here about what's going on with the Cubbies, and we all know that it's the biggest rivalry we have. It's the best rivalry in baseball, probably the best rivalry in sports, so we're all thankful for that. So until next...
We should plan on doing this closer to opening day.
We might have a pretty good sense
of what the rosters look like.
I have to say, it's not that I don't hate the Cardinals. I just really, really, really don't like them.
Elliot, you would say that. Isn't he calm about that, Pete? Like, it took him, how long did we know him before he told us he was a state wrestling champion? Like, years. Like, 4 or 5 years. Never even brought it up. And, you know, most guys that won a state wrestling championship, in the first 30 seconds you meet them, first 30 seconds, upon the handshake of saying, hey, nice to meet you, I was a state wrestling champion.
It's almost like the guys who do CrossFit. It's like they, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I do CrossFit.
And I just drank a salmon and kale shake.
Right.
Yeah. With protein powder. Right. Exactly like that.
And creatine.
That's right. Is creatine still a thing?
It is.
Okay. Shows you how much I know. We'll have to get L back on here next week on Team Arrivals.
There we go.
All right, folks.
Well, we'll have to get her take on the WandaVision final episode that airs tomorrow.
No, Ruffled Feathers.
There we go.
Ruffled Feathers, Two Birds fans. No, we don't know dick about that. We're not going to.
There we go.
I haven't watched it yet. I couldn't make it for the first episode, but I will. I'll do it because I know it gets better. I've heard it gets better. I take you guys word
very
for
good.
It.
Very good.
Fine, great. I will. I'll try. I'll give it a good old college effort. All right. We love you all so much. We'll talk to you very soon. Bye-bye, everyone. Let's go, Birds!